This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Holidays, getting ready for the Christmas action coming up over the weekend. I bet you are. And hopefully you're spending it with family. I hope so. Kate Delaney is always thrilled to be the skipper of this ship. What a year we had on America Tonight. Talked to a lot of people, went through the election cycle, had so many people on from the conventions, talked to so many politicians, people involved in the politics of it all along the way. And here we are now at the end of the year, getting ready for the inauguration, and you getting ready for, if you're celebrating Christmas, for the Christmas celebration, which is very strange over the weekend, isn't it? So you have Saturday, if you're listening to me on Saturday, happy Christmas Eve. You have the Saturday Christmas Eve, and then a Sunday Christmas. But for a lot of people, that works out because of schedules and whatnot. All right, so what's really interesting, you want to hear this? You do want to hear this, right? You're a captive audience listening to me. I've had the fortune of, and luckily when my mother was still alive, of going to Hawaii. She loved Hawaii. I mean, she saved all year long to go to Hawaii when she would go. But, and I've been here, and they've had another round of snow, reports of thunder snow that blanketed the summits of Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa on the Big Island of Hawaii on Sunday and Monday of this past week. The rangers say significant snowfall, continuous thunder and lightning over the summits. And you look at the pictures, it's so cool. It looks like you're in Alaska. Here's Hawaii in Alaska. And there was somebody that tweeted out a picture of it and said, made it to work finally and found a little snow, someone on the top of Mauna Kea. It's so cool. Meteorologists say that this thunderstorm thing is a rare deal, but you have convection with a winter storm, then thunder and lightning have more in common with warm winter thunderstorms, and then that's what happens there. So how cool is that? It's the moisture, and it produces that. So it's been in effect for a few days. They thought it was going to happen. It's at the tops of the volcanoes on the Big Island, so temperatures are mild through the rest of Hawaii, and that should last for a few days at least anyway. I think that's so cool. When I went to the top of Haleakala in Maui, Hawaii, if you ever have a chance to get to Hawaii, you can save those pennies. Trust me, I'm not a rich woman. Remember, I'm from the show that could. I'm from the little show that can and will. It's worth it. Boy, it's worth it. And just pick your island. And I like Maui. And I went up to Haleakala. And first of all, it's scary driving up to that volcano. But you get up there and the temperature drop. It is crazy. Because, of course, you're at this high level. This was in January. There was not so much snow, but there was ice everywhere, and I just thought that was the craziest thing. Anyway, because I know some of you will be having a white Christmas, you might find it funny that in Hawaii, on the top of these volcanoes, that they're seeing snow and the reason why, which is, I think, just really, really crazy. All right, on a sad note, I do have to tell you about this. The Berlin truck attack, they believe it's a terrorist act. I mean, here we are at the tail end of the week. How sad is this? Truck plowing into a Christmas market in Berlin, killing 12 people, wounding 48 people. And, you know, they believe it was this asylum seeker from Pakistan, so that's going to put more pressure on the Chancellor Merkel. But, I mean, it's just a terrible, terrible thing. Driving into a group of innocent people and destroying how many lives? I mean, Christmas markets are common sights in towns across Europe, and it's a big run-up to the holidays. It attracts lots of visitors from all over the place. So they shut down the Christmas markets because of the victims days after, but it's just, I don't know, it just brings back into play what we have talked about all along. And as somebody who was in New York on 9/11, when we really saw the big change in the United States, and it was awful to hear the gut-wrenching stories of people and to be right there in Queens while everything was happening, not too far away, and to hear that with people, you know, them working on the pile and all of that. Now today we have that fabulous memorial, but it still doesn't ease the pain of the families who know that life is precious. And suddenly when you least expect it, that happens, and it's not a heart attack, and it's not something unforeseen. It's deliberate. It is sickening, vile, and disgusting. Let me just put it that way. And I certainly wish peace for the people who have had to deal with that, because I can't imagine what that feeling would be like. It would be absolutely horrific. Again, let's put it that way, just absolutely horrific. You know, it was a kind of a year where we lost a lot of notable people from the world of sports, the world of entertainment. And one of them, I thought that was so sad, but he had fought such a huge battle over Parkinson's, and he really gave a lot to so many people. And because I had a chance to interview people who knew Muhammad Ali, it was so incredible to, and because I had a chance to meet him, it was so incredible to see his impact, not what you read about, but his true impact on so many lives. He died in June of this past year. Some people say the greatest heavyweight boxer of all time in sports. Remember, he's, you know, Cassius Clay was his name, and he changed his name, and he refused to be drafted into the military during the Vietnam War, and the opposition to the war, you could say, cost him belts for sure and led to a 3-year ban from boxing and all of that. And then his conviction for draft dodging was overturned in 1971. But bottom line is, he was an amazing man in what he gave back to people and didn't necessarily tell everybody. He didn't shout it from the rooftops. We also just recently lost Zsa Zsa Gabor, 100 years old. And when you think of Zsa Zsa Gabor, somebody said this to me the other day, just last week, or no, this week, earlier this week, that Zsa Zsa Gabor is like the Kardashians. She was like the Kardashians of her time. And I'll say, I don't know, maybe. What do you think? Maybe. And then Fidel Castro, of course, in November. I think of the reign of terror. I think terror. When he was the dictator of Cuba for 47 years, he was the dictator, his grip on that island nation. Now we'll see what happened. He died at the age of 90. Also, John Glenn recently, to me, there's a hero for you, December 8th, first man to orbit the Earth, then a 4-time U.S. Senator from Ohio, dies at the age of 95. That's a life well lived. Florence Henderson, who is like the mom of all moms. The Brady Bunch, which ran for only 5 seasons, but in syndication, it lived forever, and so she will live forever. She died at the age of, you know, 82. I think of Arnold Palmer, who I also had a chance to interview. I talk about these interviews, which coming up you'll hear some of the interviews, the great interviews from this year. Arnold Palmer, iconic. He was a golfer who really just fueled the masses. He died at the age of 87. He was accessible, they say, to the common man, and he was amazing. He was called at one point the athlete of the decade in the 60s, and he founded the Golf Channel and had a big impact on lots of people. All right, stay with us. Much more coming up next.
Looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better. Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purified, treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the run with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey,
Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
I just went to see the Star Trek movie, and it's such a sad, sad story. Anton Yelchin, who plays Chekhov in Star Trek, I believe, terrible, terrible thing. He was crushed and killed in a freak accident at his home in California, and there's been a lot of conversation about this now because his parents filed a wrongful death suit and product liability, I should add in there, too, lawsuit against Fiat Chrysler in the Superior Court in Los Angeles. The suit is saying that the gear selector in that 2015 Jeep was defective and poorly designed and manufactured. How do you go about proving that? And I think this is definitely great that they brought up this lawsuit, and I wonder how tough it is, again, to, you know, with the burden of proof and going after, you know, an automaker, how long that takes, all that kind of stuff. So joining us now from Los Angeles is Robert Ryan. He knows of such things. He practices his litigation in these areas and, of course, in California, and focuses his practice now on representing people injured or killed in accidents. Robert, thanks so much for spending time with us.
Thank you very much for having me, Kate. It's a real pleasure.
So they filed this. Well, first of all, let's go back to the accident. When you're the attorney, you got to get every single little detail about what went into that accident, don't you? All the accident reports, everything that you can piece together to put the crime scene together, I'll say crime scene, put together the accident scene in the mind of the judge or the jury if it goes that far.
That's right, but unfortunately, in this particular situation, there are no known witnesses to the incident that led to Anton's death. All we know so far is that on the night of June 18th, he was supposed to meet some friends that evening and apparently had gotten into his 2015 Jeep Grand Cherokee in order to leave his property at his house in Studio City. When he did not appear for the scheduled meeting with his friends. They went over to his house, and they found him pinned against a kind of corner column that anchored one end of his security gate with the Jeep pressed against his chest and his back against the column. LAPD investigators came to the scene, and they determined that the vehicle was running, meaning the engine was on, and also that the transmission was in neutral. Now, it's important to note that Anton lived in a house that had a rather steep driveway, and so the supposition was that he had started the vehicle, had gotten out to go back into his house or to pick up something, and then by the time he came back, the vehicle had started to roll backwards, and somehow he got caught between the vehicle and the post, which led to his death.
Wow. So now you have all of that, and as you go after the product liability and the wrongful death, as an attorney, what do you have to do here to make this lawsuit viable, to win it, in other words?
Well, that's an interesting question. This scenario that I just outlined, which is to some extent speculative about how this may have happened, is entirely consistent with a number of reported prior incidents involving that vehicle and that particular transmission. So let's step back a little here and talk about what the allegation is concerning the transmission in that Jeep model. It's something called a monostable E-shift, which is just a fancy name for a gear shift that doesn't actually move position to indicate that the driver has changed gears. I mean, we're all familiar with the gear shift in the middle of the console there that we unclick and rack in a slide, typically all the way forward for park and all the way towards us to drive. Now, those gear shifts were made in that fashion because the driver under those circumstances is actually mechanically changing the gears. Now, vehicles, like so much other products in our lives now, have pretty much been taken over by computers. So the driver typically, and especially in this car, doesn't actually mechanically change the gears. Instead, that's done electronically. But you still have this gear shift there that actually doesn't move now in this particular one. And the allegation is that it doesn't provide the same type of feedback to the driver to confirm that, in fact, he successfully put the vehicle in park.
So when you take on a lawsuit like this, when you're the attorney, do you just buckle in and tell the people that this could be a really long, long day in court? Because I would imagine it takes a long time for this to go through.
Well, in a case like this, you have Fiat Chrysler, which is obviously, you know, a multinational automaker.
Yeah.
They sell vehicles in over 50 countries. They're one of the largest automakers in the world, and they're one of the largest corporations in the world. So you can anticipate that you will have a very well-funded and vigorous defense. But from the attorney's perspective, when you think about taking a case like this, the first thing you want to know is, has it happened before? And the plaintiffs in this lawsuit, who are Victor and Irina Yelchin, the parents of Anton, under California law, because he was not married and had no children, they would be the people entitled to make a claim arising from his death. You look back and you see, what is the history concerning this particular transmission and other accidents? And here's where we have a couple of factors that might play very much in Victor and Irina's favor. Let me talk a little bit about what those are. In August of 2015, there's a division of the U.S. Department of Transportation. It's called the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA for short, began receiving complaints both over its website and from Fiat Chrysler, who by law is required to pass along such complaints, that people were reporting accidents occurring as a result of this type of transmission not successfully being put into park, and then the vehicles rolling away and causing damages and, in many cases, personal injuries. In February of 2016, NHTSA expanded its investigation to include all Fiat Chrysler models sold with this particular type of transmission, which at that time, I think, exceeded 900,000 vehicles registered in the United States. And NHTSA's investigation came to the conclusion that the design of this particular gear shifter was defective because it did not successfully advise the driver that the car might not have been put into park despite the driver's intention to do so, because the shifter didn't actually change physical position to indicate that. The only thing it did was there was a little light on the gear shift selector that lit up with a P, that Fiat Chrysler built into it to try to alert the driver not to leave the vehicle if the vehicle wasn't in park. There's a bell that did a little ding-ding, and there's a light that flashed on the dashboard. But NHTSA determined that these safety features weren't enough to protect people who intended to leave their vehicle running but just weren't aware it was in neutral and not in park. Now, that led to a recall by Fiat Chrysler of this exact vehicle with this exact transmission. Unfortunately, a vehicle recall of that magnitude takes some time for an automaker to implement. If you think about it, first of all, they have to advise hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of vehicle owners of the problem. They have to schedule service times for all of those people to get their vehicles modified. But more importantly, what they have to do is they have to come up with a way to fix it. Now, it took Fiat Chrysler until June of this year to come up with a fix for this particular problem. Unfortunately, that fix came too late for Anton.
Boy, yeah, no kidding. I mean, what a just a terrible thing. Of all the, I mean, obviously you decided to focus, as I mentioned, you know, well over a decade ago, specifically on accidents, et cetera. And what has been the most gratifying part of practicing that kind of law for you?
This particular lawsuit is a good example of it. Whether or not Victor and Irina win their lawsuit against Fiat Chrysler, because they say that Fiat Chrysler's defective design of this transmission caused their son's death, regardless of what you think of the merits of that lawsuit, and regardless of how it ultimately turns out, whether it's in their favor or not, it really stands for a very important principle that, for the most part, exists practically only in America, which is that you can have two individuals here who have a claim, obviously means a lot to them because it arises from the death of their son, and who can take on one of the largest corporations in the world on relatively equal footing. And whether they win or whether they lose, that stands for such an important principle of American justice, which is that anybody, no matter their position in society, if they have a legitimate claim, can bring that claim to court and seek justice. And regardless of how it turns out, that's a really important principle that all of us need to keep in mind.
Boy, so true. I agree with you. Absolutely. What a pleasure speaking with you, Robert. We'll talk to you in the future again. Robert Ryan out of Los Angeles, talking about this terrible, terrible situation with the Star Trek actor, but the lawsuit that was filed against the car maker after what happened. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's been a real pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. You have a good one.
Looking back, pre-keeping track of the progress of the keeping of the ego intact. Before I realized I was a man, I suppose I am aware of an increased effort.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years? And you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall. There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
Our next guest here on America Tonight, she's in our virtual green room. It's another one of our continuing segments on It's Your Business. She's written a book called Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose. Whew, that sounds good to me. Meredith Elliott Powell joins us. Hey, Meredith, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. This virtual green room is rocking.
That's right. We were going to put some Red Bull in it for you, but I think you don't need any.
So. That's probably true.
So I love the title. It intrigues me. Own It, Redefining Responsibility. Why do we need to redefine responsibility in companies?
Such a great question. You know, when I decided to write the book and I went to my publisher, he said, you cannot put responsibility in a title. Nobody wants to be responsible. Nobody will read it. And I said, well, that's exactly my point. It's why we need to redefine it. And in my opinion, we see responsibility. I say the word and you can feel the energy suck out of the room. We see it as like a burden, something that is being done to us. The purpose of my book was to redefine it because it is your power. It is your path to freedom. It's where once you take responsibility, the path and the choice is yours to do anything you want in your life.
Yeah, boy, and that is so true, whether it's personal or professional. But when you talk about responsibility in a work environment, when you say redefining it, does it also mean clearly having better roles for people or understanding their strengths? You know, that's a big deal now. What is somebody strong at on the team, and how do we define leadership and all of these terms that fly around the room like we're in Poltergeist and it's the furniture that's flying around and they're just words. So how do we make those words make sense when you're in a company and you're trying to do that? You're trying to figure out the right roles.
today's world, whether it be personal or professional, let's just talk about in a professional environment. You know, somewhere along the line, we made a shift where we all feel very out of control, and we're waiting for a leader to coach us, or somebody to give us a job, or somebody to promote us, or somebody to mentor us. And in redefining it, it's really about saying, what do I want to be? What are the skills that I need to get there? And how can I take responsibility to make sure that I learn and grow and invest in my company so my company is willing to turn around and invest in me?
Yeah, well said. I read the book. I love the book. And one of the things that you talk about that's pretty powerful is you talk about the workforce in general and why it's important to be engaged. You know, you look at a workforce and it's fully engaged. If you have a fully engaged workforce, it's the greatest competitive advantage you have left. That's pretty powerful. Why is it the greatest competitive advantage?
You know, I would go so far as to say that it's pretty much the only one. I wrote a book called Winning in the Trust and Value Economy, all about the shifts in this economy and the fact that the world changed after 2008, that date that's burned in our memory. And basically, you know, right now, the very fact that I am in a virtual green room talks about the changes in this economy. We can be anywhere, sitting at home, in our underwear, Googling until our heart is content, and have everything we need, anything we want to buy. We can buy it anywhere in this world, anytime we want to. So this is an economy where what you sell has become a commodity, but how you sell it is your competitive advantage. Now, if you own a business, how you sell it would be so easy if you were the one who interacted all the time with your customers. But more often than not, it's your employees. So you are dependent for your success and your growth in creating an amazing customer experience, which begins with the relationship that you have with your employees, how engaged they are. And when you look at employee engagement, I mean, it impacts the bottom line. It impacts the customer experience. It impacts cash flow. It impacts productivity, efficiency. I could go on and on. If I had to tell business owners to focus on one thing, as they look at improving, if they had to pour their resources into one thing, I would say get the greatest workforce you can get, and you will succeed in business today.
Yeah, and piggybacking on what you just said, one of the pretty provocative things that you go on to talk about in your book is, and it plays right off of that, is you think the workforce and having it fully engaged and ready to roll is so important that you say it's more important than the relationship you have with your customers. Wow. Is that because the customers will come and they'll be satisfied if the workforce is?
Completely. You know, I say that this is an economy where the relationship that you build with your employees is more important than the relationship that you build with your customers. And yeah, that is provocative because it makes most people go, what did she say? Because all we hear about is customer experience, makes customer happy, makes customer happy. But the customer's experience is dependent upon how much your employees care. I mean, we've all had those stories where we walked in someplace, they've paid bukus for advertising, we're walking in there to buy whatever we want to buy, and the employee ruins the experience for us. They're either complaining about their job, they don't have the knowledge, they're not interested or whatever. That in an economy where consumers have a choice, I say that customers are almost looking for a reason not to do business with you. And a bad interaction, not even bad, I don't even have to go that far, a lukewarm interaction with one of your employees just turns people off. You know, the other thing that's crazy is I feel like we have become so void of really great employees. I mean, think of this in your own mind. Like, you go to the grocery store and you get some high school kid who's into it, and he asks you how your day is, if you found everything in the grocery store. You're so blown away by that because we don't experience it anymore. You walk around town and tell everybody. So not only do you want to engage your workforce to have a great customer experience, but if you do it, you're going to stand out from your competition because it's so hard to come by in today's world.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. I love your grocery store example because I just had that happen to me, and I was so blown away that I told everyone, go there. And he was very sincere. He kept saying, how was your day? What have you done? He asked me the question, what have you done today that was fun? I was like, what? What have I done today that was fun? Are you kidding me? And he was so sincere, and I thought, wow. Even if somebody told him to do it, it certainly didn't seem that way. And it was powerful. Absolutely. It's funny that you say that. So you have a lot of statistics and real-world examples in the book to prove what you're saying, you know, to just add to that and to put more layers on it, I'll say. One of the statistics is this Gallup, and I saw this maybe a month or two ago as well, where according to Gallup, 7 out of 10 workers report that they're checked out. They're checked out. 7 out of 10. That's crazy, Meredith. Is that really true?
You know, it's not only true. I talk about this in the book. I say the book's written in three sections. The first section is the nerd section that has all the stats and all the statistics. The second section is written for the leader on how to build the right culture in today's workforce. And the last section is written for the employee saying, what are you doing waiting for somebody else to engage you? It's your life. It's your career. But in the first section, not only are 7 out of 10 workers disengaged. I mean, I think it's mind-blowing that they're willing to fill out a survey that says, I don't care. I'm not interested. But Gallup went on to report that if we don't start doing something different, that if we as leaders don't begin to understand how the economy's changed, how customers have changed, and employees have changed, that statistic's going to rise in the next couple of years to 84%.
Wow.
That means that 84% of the people who you pay to come to work for you are checked out, disengaged. And I think most business owners would agree that your, you know, staff is your most expensive output, you know? And what your employees are saying, listen hard, is what we're doing as leaders is not working. We need to do something different.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the coolest thing that you found out in writing this book?
You know, wow, that's such a great question. I think the coolest thing that I found out was one I discovered on my own when I really got down there and really started doing the research was the fact that everybody talks about what's wrong with this younger generation. There's just no work ethic. There's no loyalty. There's no anything. And that is not true. So that was a cool thing to really find out. But what I discovered from that was, you know, I grew up in a world where if you went to work, you basically believe that if you worked hard, that company would still be there 30 years from now. You would probably get retirement and a pension and those types of things. And if you didn't work there anymore, it would be your job. It would be your choice to go someplace else. But the coolest thing I think that I found out was the fact that today's workers are less loyal because there's nothing to be loyal to. Pensions are off the table, retirement accounts, mergers and acquisitions can happen at any moment. And I don't care how long your company's been there, no employee believes that 100% guaranteed their job will be there. So as leaders, we need to recognize that with the staples and the traditional things off the table, no wonder employees lack loyalty. And with those things off the table, if we want to create it, we've got to put something else in its place. And that's what I wrote about in the book.
Yep, I absolutely love it. And I would be remiss not to ask you this because I do know there's another layer to you. You have this serious side of researching and finding out all this wonderful information in Own It, Redefining Responsibility. But I found out your wow is that you're a big hiker and you've actually hiked in 14 countries. And how many miles do you think you've hiked in your lifetime?
I have hiked thousands, probably. Probably close to 10,000. I don't know. I've hiked and hiked, and I'm working on my 100 in the national parks to celebrate the national parks 100th anniversary this year.
Wow, perfect way to end this. I would love to go on a hike with you. Could we go like just a couple miles?
Oh, we'll definitely go just a couple miles. Yeah, and I'll put you on my back for the last 10.
Thank you, Meredith Elliott Powell. Pick up her book, Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose. They can get it on Amazon, right?
Yes, absolutely. They can get it on Amazon.
All right. Love it. Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees.
We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Headlines about FIFA and what's going on there. And how about this? Vladimir Putin denouncing the U.S. over these FIFA arrests. We've got in our virtual green room, Tom Sima. He is a corporate attorney who, by the way, has a very active practice in representing clients from Russian-speaking countries who are doing lots of business in the United States. He also, I'll throw this in, advises American companies in international deals involving Russian-speaking counterparties as well. Tom, thanks for hanging with us here on America Tonight.
Yeah, happy to be able to give you any thoughts I have.
So when you first saw this about Putin denouncing the U.S., and of course you've certainly seen a lot of what Putin has done of late, at least in the past 2 years on a couple of other fronts, what did you think?
Well, it's very in keeping with the narrative that he's trying to construct. His essential position is that the United States is bullying Russia, that we're trying to overthrow his regime, and that everything that we do is aimed at making his country weaker. And so as a result, everything that he says is playing into that narrative. He said that this matter had nothing to do with the U.S., and the U.S. is just seeking to extend its jurisdiction to other countries.
And ultimately, this is just part of, as you said, the Putin spin, right? There's a reason for this, to paint the United States as the bad guys?
Well, sure. And, you know, just yesterday he signed a new law that actually allows the criminal prosecution of foreigners in foreign corporations working in Russia. So, for example, if I'm over in Russia with a Russian law firm or an American law firm, but I'm over there as an American working, doing business, I'm now subjected to the risk that if I displease the wrong people, they may make a phone call to the state security services and say that I'm a spy, and they could bring criminal charges against me for being a foreign agent.
Wow. And you, I mentioned at the top that you've got clients on all sides of this. Would you think they'd be a little bit nervous about being in Russia for any kind of an extended amount of time?
Well, there are a lot of companies that are reassessing their exposure in Russia. Certainly,
wow.
Some of the larger companies like McDonald's, Coca-Cola, the oil and gas companies are continuing to do business to the extent that they can. Some of them have had their activities curtailed by sanctions, but they're still managing to do what they've always done. It's really the mid-level and smaller companies that are finding that the business climate is much harsher than it used to be. And that's not just for foreigners either. That smaller Russian businesses are really feeling the crunch now too, which is too bad because it's the Russian middle class that had been growing that really is in the opposition to Putin. So perversely, the sanctions seem to have financially killed a lot of the people who would be otherwise trying to stop Putin or at least rein in some of the more crazy things that he and the Duma, the parliament, have been engaging in.
Yeah, and why is that? Didn't it seem like a few years ago that there was this little bit of a handshake and there was great business that was starting to be drummed up in Russia, or am I just imagining that?
No, you're not imagining it, and I think there's been a very strong shift in Russia even before the Ukraine crisis. When Medvedev was the president and Putin was acting as the prime minister of Russia, although they talked about them being two faces of the same machine, I think it really was at least some sort of a tentative effort by the Russian government to explore trying to have better relations with the West, because Medvedev was very pro-Western, business-friendly sort of guy. And so they didn't really try things maybe as well as they could have, and maybe they did some of the wrong things, and they got the wrong ideas of what was going on. And so they shifted back to Putin and a harder line and a more isolationist approach to their business dealings.
Yeah. For you, and in specializing in Russia, why do you specialize in that? I mean, obviously, I'm thinking you probably speak Russian and you're skilled in the laws, because right away you revealed something that I had no idea about, the criminal element. I knew that there was discussions, but I didn't realize that had already kicked in, that new law. So what's the attraction for you, as many people practice all kinds of law? Why did you go down this road?
Well, it's interesting. During Perestroika, I became very interested in the Soviet Union, as it was at the time. And I think a lot of Americans were very interested at that time, in particular in Russia and everything Russian. And it's just that it never really left me. And I went over there to study in the 1990s during the Yeltsin years.
Yeah.
And I learned Russian fluently and made a lot of really great friends. Not only in Russia, but also in Ukraine and Kazakhstan in particular. And I've just followed that because I found it to be a very interesting niche market. And outside of the big law firms, there really aren't a lot of lawyers who cater to this sort of business.
Yeah, it's got to be interesting because what an interesting background you have to see the ebb and flow of that, being there studying in the 90s and now we're at this point. It's a shame. Do you think once Putin is gone, which who knows when that is, that things could possibly bounce back? Because it sounds as though he's got some backing from others.
Well, it's difficult to say how much would change. I think things would change, certainly, if Putin leaves. But I don't know how much they're going to change, because when you have deep structures in your government that are geared towards certain things, it's very difficult to change that overnight. After the Bolshevik Revolution, the communists had this idea that they were going to completely rewrite the legal system, and they were going to come up with an entirely new type of law called socialist law. But the problem that they ran into was that all of the judges and all of the lawyers and this system as it had worked, you know, the bureaucracy, everything, the entire government apparatus was based on a certain legal structure. And there was only so much that they could really change because it's really entrenched at a certain point. And so I think that, you know, for better or for worse, a lot of Russia's power structure is entrenched in a certain way of looking at the world and a certain way of operating.
Yeah, and do you think, too, as long as you brought up the Ukraine, and I kind of alluded to it at the top, as long as that's going on, there's no way to kind of mend this fence? It's just going to continue to be where it is?
Well, I certainly don't think that the fences are going to be mended right away. But realistically, at some point, Russia and Ukraine are going to have to sit down and figure out how to deal with each other because they're neighbors, and that's not going to ever change. You know, geography dictates that they will have dealings with one another, and geography also means that historically they've had a lot of communication, and their cultures are very complementary to one another in a lot of ways. But at the present time, everyone is highlighting their differences and distinctions because of the very poisoned atmosphere between the two countries right now.
Yeah, no kidding. And with this poison atmosphere and then this whole FIFA thing, you know, I think kind of now silence is golden. Nobody's really saying anything necessarily from the Obama administration. But, you know, we watched what happened through the Ukrainian thing that we just discussed. And I guess it's probably just that stay pat mentality. How does this affect your clients? What do they tell you? They have to be a little bit nervous when things all of a sudden shake in a different direction.
Well, sure. Some of my clients are making plans to move assets and businesses out of the country right now. And that's not only in Russia. Some people who are in Ukraine are a little nervous about the future, as they would understandably be. At the same time, there are a lot of people who are willing to stick this through and hoping that at some point there will be a relaxation of the situation and things will start to get better. And while maybe they won't be where they were, you know, say 4 years ago, if it does get better, then, you know, there's still money to be made in Russia. It's a huge country with a very highly educated populace with a lot to offer the world.
Yeah, I agree. Interesting stuff. Would you still say that people should put that on their bucket list as somebody who spent time there to go and see Russia?
Oh, absolutely. There's Ukraine as well. And I would add Kazakhstan, which not a lot of people get to. But really, almost all of these countries of the former Soviet Union are just, they have phenomenal beauty and a rich history. Really friendly people when you get to know them, and an interesting culture, and I would definitely recommend that.
All right, Tom Seema, thanks so much. You were terrific. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Happy to give you my thoughts.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Attention citizens. This man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Sale of a Lifetime, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.saleofalifetime.com/freebook. Again, that's saleofalifetime.com/freebook.